It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Accidents happen. we were talking about that a moment ago. All right.
Good morning, Lockwood.
Good morning, yeah.
Morning, Lockwood.
I like this. All right.
Well, we're going to shift gears a bit today, Lockwood, and talk about insurance coverage and define, demystify, if you will, some of the terminology around these mechanical things called cars, trucks, and vehicles we ride in. And, of course, it's so very important that we all have the appropriate kind of insurances, and it's good to know what these different cubby holes of insurance mean because of the fact that, you know, as you just said, you know, Lockwood, accidents happen, okay? And so let's kind of give the Roman numeral 1, 2, 3 of it, and then Wes and I will demystify what those categories of insurance mean. There's, of course, first of all, the liability provision of our policies. There's is known as the non-liability, if you will, or the medical pay coverage. And lastly, there is what is known as the underinsured or uninsured coverage. Wes, are there any other categories?
Well, property. I mean, property, you were talking more about damage. Liability,
That's
but
right.
property would be just damage to the vehicle or other people's
Correct.
Property.
So those four.
Right.
The property damage, the liability provision, the medical pay provision, and the uninsured, underinsured motorist provision.
Right.
Okay.
So in North Carolina, every state has minimum limits. Okay. That means that each respective state mandates that if you have an automobile, it has to be insured and you have to insure it to a certain limit. The minimum limit in North Carolina is the 30-60-25 limit. And what that stands for is the first number is $30,000 per person, per accident. That means that's all that the insurance company is responsible for paying for pain and suffering, for medical expenses, for lost wages, for, you know, anything relating to or directly approximately caused by the accident or the negligence. Okay. So that's the $30,000. And then the $60,000 is the next number in North Carolina. And that is basically $60,000 per accident. So what that means is that the insurance company has no obligation to pay any more than $60,000 out toward personal injury type claims in any accident. So if there were six people in the vehicle and they paid $10,000 each to those six, that's all they'd have to pay. They don't have to go up to the $30,000 number per person. They're capped at $60,000 total. Are you following me on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. So we're looking at a cap of $30,000
per person.
Per person.
That's right.
But an aggregate cap of $60,000.
That's
so
right.
If you've got two people, let's say there are three people, each gets $30,000, the insurance company is responsible for $60,000. The owner of the vehicle is going to be responsible for that last 30.
Potentially, until we get to the UIM conversation in just a moment. Okay.
Right.
So we'll talk about that. The last number, as far as minimum limits, and again, we're talking about minimum limits here.
Right.
Most people driving out on the highway have something other than the minimum limits, I would dare to say. Although it seems like a lot of personal injury cases that I deal with, all of a sudden, minimum limit. You don't want to see the minimum limits, but that's what they are. You know, so nevertheless, 30, 60, and then 25 is the property. That's the property damage. So that one's a real easy one there. So, but again, most people are going to pay a little bit higher premium. They're going to get a little bit more coverage. You know, there's certainly also, you start at the minimum limits and then you go all the way up to the umbrella policy that's, you know,
millions
right.
Now, Lockwood, of course, we jumped right into the liability section, but let's get back just a moment to a real simple one, which a lot of folks just don't know about. And that's med pay coverage or medical pay coverage which I did mention as one mm-hmm. of the categories. This is just non-liability. Doesn't matter whether anyone's at fault. It's just simply that if there is a medical bill or a medical injury, usually medical bill, touching and concerning that vehicle. I mean, it might be that, you know, someone gets their finger caught in the door, okay, mm-hmm. or anything touching and concerning that vehicle as to an injury that occurs that creates a medical bill.
So the car may not even, okay, slamming your hand inside the door.
Right.
Okay, and because it involved the car.
It did.
Now the medical, the
MedPay
right. kicks in.
Correct.
Associated with it. Okay.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. Car rolls down the driveway.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it runs into your, you know, your leg or something.
Right.
I mean, any number of things, but it's not a matter of someone, yay or nay, being at fault.
And driving the car.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just medical cost that has resulted as a result of something that occurred in and around or in that vehicle.
Gotcha.
That's called medical pay coverage. And that's out there on all of our policies. And it's many, many times forgotten about. It, by the way, also doesn't matter that you have Blue Cross Blue Shield that pays it first. Okay. So our listeners know about that, please. Know about your medical pay coverage. Wes, of course, brought to the table property damage. And of course, that's just the value of the vehicle.
Right.
If there's any kind of damage mm-hmm. to the vehicle. Okay. Again, that's not going to particularly, play into liability. That's just if your vehicle is involved in an accident somehow and your vehicle is damaged, then the insurance company is going to need to, under their property damage provisions, you know, make some remedy there.
Okay. Now, when you're talking, the issue of, property damage on vehicles, are you insuring your vehicle, but also the damage done to another vehicle? Let's say you run into a vehicle, no one's injured, but damage is committed to both vehicles, and the driver in one is found at fault.
Right.
Does their coverage cover their car as well as the other car that is damaged?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to always look at who's liable.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
You know, if your car is damaged, then, you know, you're going to be in a situation where you can look to your own insurance,
right.
But your own insurance is going to require the tortfeasor's insurance to pay first.
Okay.
You know, on the property claim.
All right.
So, you know, that's the way that works.
Okay.
And it's a real simple analysis here. I mean, you know, even though you have your own insurance on your vehicle with regard to liability, you know, we have to look at who the liable party was, who the negligent party was here. And one of the things that we always look at here in North Carolina, because we're only one of three states remaining that's what's called a contributory negligence state, you know, this is something we deal with every single day, just about every single day, or we certainly have cases moving mm-hmm. through our office every single day where this issue is important. North Carolina, again, only one of three states remaining where contrib applies. And that means if you're 1% responsible for the accident, there's no recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to deal with that issue here in this great state of North Carolina.
Now, Lockwood.
So that's a little bit of a side issue there,
yeah.
But we can get back to
okay,
insurance, but it's related.
I think that it's interesting just to press home and make it very clear to our listeners that, that these minimum levels of liability that Wes mentioned, 30,000, 60,000, these are mandated by law.
Right.
And this comparison was used, you know, with the federal government, you know, doing some sort of, you know, medical coverage for
mm-hmm.
everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, the famous Obamacare or
right.
whatever we want to call it. This is the same kind of concept where the government comes forth and says that it's a public policy argument, that it is in the best interest of our public that we mandate
mm-hmm.
that if you have a vehicle, You must have these limits. And of course, there are checks and balances, and our listeners know this. You can't, you know, you can't register a car. Right. You can't, you know, your driver's license, you know, you're showing proof of insurance when you're stopped for a routine traffic stop.
Right.
There are all sorts of checks and balances in there to make sure that our population have these minimum liability, coverages on any vehicle or truck on the roadway. And so, that's out there, and you gotta have these limits. You gotta have this minimum coverage.
I think the important part here is it is minimum.
It is minimum.
Right,
minimum.
Right.
So, this is not necessarily recommended. This is not necessarily recommended. But
that is true.
All right. You're listening to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. We're talking about accidents happen, and, the issue here, automobile insurance and the impact of this. This concept of contributory negligence, that's interesting because, of course, when the – well, we'll get to this. The penalty is now borne by multiple parties. I'm interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking accidents happen with Wes Collins and Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. And, of course, I just want to mention to you, of course, you're welcome to call in if you have a question. I haven't even mentioned that at the outset. Harvell and Collins, of course, you can call them directly as well at their office. And that number, by the way, is 726-9050, 726-9050. We're talking accidents happen. And underinsured and uninsured motorist and things of this nature. And you mentioned a word a few moments ago, stacking.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about all this. This is
the first thing that the lawyer is going to do, and our listeners need to understand, is to work the primary liability, as we just discussed, those basic limits, whatever they happen to be, for the vehicle that's at fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the first, you know, the first bit of energy is going to go there. The question then evolves, though, well, first of all, what if the person who caused the accident is in violation of the law and did not have those minimum limits? That would be uninsured. I mean, even though the law requires that we have these minimum limits, Lockwood, we know that there are a small percentage of people out there that just simply didn't pay the premium or didn't get around to doing it and are skirting the system.
Mm-hmm.
So then now they create an accident.
Right.
Okay. They are uninsured. All right. Then of course, your uninsured motorist coverage is going to come into play because of the fact that you were in an accident where someone else was uninsured. The more complicated one is the underinsured motorist coverage, okay? And the basic definition of this is that, you know, there are liabilities that are created as a result of the accident. And the liabilities exceed the primary person who created the accident's limits.
Right.
They have the limit. They're not uninsured. They have the minimum limits.
Mm-hmm.
They have 30,000 per person. But for heaven's sakes, you know, the injury is 100,000 or 200,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that is what we call underinsured motorist, issue. An underinsured motorist issue, and of course, as a result of that, the policies, the coverage of the underinsured insurance, those coverages under those sections are then going to apply.
So, I'm the injured party, the individual who caused the accident, either uninsured or underinsured. Either case, my policy then kicks in. In the case of underinsured, for the difference, for example, we're using a minimum of 30. Let's say there's $100,000 worth of services.
Hold on a second. You're the one who caused the accident?
I'm the one who's
Go ahead.
I'm the one who got I'm the recipient of the accident.
Okay, you were not negligent.
I was not negligent.
Okay.
So the individual who caused the accident is insured for $30,000.
Yes.
I have $100,000 worth of medical bills.
Okay.
So there's a shortfall of $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
Does the individual who's liable pay the $30,000, and then does my insurance policy kick in and cover the additional $70,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then the insurance company would have certainly the right to look into proceeding against the tortfeasor as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could do that. And that's part of this analysis that we really haven't gotten into yet, but we can just touch on it right now. You know, obviously, if we're in a situation where we have a defendant, a tortfeasor, the person who was liable, who has, you know, minimal limits or not enough limits to cover all the damage, but has really significant assets, then we have to play that into it because you could very well have a judgment in excess of the coverage limit against that defendant and collect against the defendant. So that's kind of a side issue, but it's something that's related and is part of the analysis that any attorney, you know, you're working a personal injury claim to that extent with that kind of damage is going to consider.
Gotcha.
Now, Cecil went through the UM and the UIM very well. UIM being the underinsured, UM being uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's variations of that we see. For example, a hit-and-run type situation. It wouldn't necessarily be that the person who was negligent did not have insurance at all. But it could be a situation where there was a hit and run and we can't find the person.
Uh-huh.
Well, then our UM would apply. But however, there's an exception in North Carolina with regard to that. And basically that exception is under the current law, that there has to be contact. You can't have a situation under a hit and run under UIM coverage where there was not contact between the tortfeasor's vehicle as defined in the statute and also the person or the person's vehicle who was injured. Okay? Are you following what I'm saying there? And the reason the public policy with regard to that, Lockwood, is that we don't want, you know, folks to say, well, there was some guy who ran me off the road. Mm-hmm. I got hurt.
I got you.
You know?
Okay. Okay.
And where's the phantom guy who ran you off the road?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have to have some contact, although vehicle in the statute is defined as the automobile or the vehicle itself and its cargo. So it could conceivably be something falling off
the vehicle.
It could be rocks, could be a tire, could be a 2x4, you know, anything.
In essence, what you're looking for is physical evidence, which means there's got to be contact.
Connect those dots.
Okay.
Yep.
Those cases are nice to have witnesses.
Okay.
People who saw what happened.
Right.
That's right.
Because as Wes is saying, otherwise, you know, you're a little bit sleepy. You run into the median. You run off the road.
Mm-hmm.
You create a liability for yourself. And all of a sudden it's someone else's fault.
That's right. Now I hope the listeners are following this, that really the UM and the UIM is making sure you're taking care of your own business, yourself.
Right.
You're not going to rely upon the other guy out there driving his or her vehicle and, you know, who may have minimum limits, to make sure there's enough insurance coverage to take care of you in the event that person causes an accident and you get severely injured. You're going to make sure you have enough insurance to cover yourself. Okay, so that's the way that works, but a lot of folks don't understand how that works. Now, usually your UM and your UIM coverage limits are equal to your primary liability limits as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have a policy that's, you know, 30, 60, 25, then most likely under the terms of your policy, those are going to be your UIM limits as well. But as I said before, usually policies are more, you know, 100,000, 500,
right,
300, you know, something like that, a little higher, right?
Can you, and I'm not trying to sell insurance here. Can you designate different levels for those categories? And I'm hearing from you that a lot of people look at their UM and UIM, their uninsured or underinsured motorist policies. They just sort of ignore that.
Well, there's been some litigation on that. That's interesting because there was a case in North Carolina where it was brought against the insurance agent company basically for allegedly not putting the individual on notice that they could, if they want to, buy UM and UIM up to $1 million for additional premium. And now what's mandated is that if you go buy auto insurance, you will see in the documentation, you may buy UMUIM for up to $1 million. It's in the documentation always.
All right.
In big, bold letters.
This is important. We're talking with Wes Collins and Cecil Harvell. Let's Talk Legal. We're talking about accidents happening here on Coastal Daybreak on the talk station, FM 107 AM 1240. Accidents happen is the topic of the conversation this morning with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins with Harvell and Collins, the right advice at the right time. And by the way, just to remind you, the program brought to you by Harvell and Collins, but you can reach them by phone, 726-9050. All right?
Right. So we were talking about the UMUIM insurance coverage. And another issue that folks really don't know anything about at all is the stacking of these policies. North Carolina allows for you to stack UM or UIM coverage. And what that is that if you have, let's say, two vehicles, Lockwood, two separate policies, completely different policies, different policy numbers, and you have, let's say, $250,000 UMUIM on each, and you're severely injured, you can stack one on top of the other for a total of 500.
Wow.
Okay. However, same scenario. If you have one policy covering two vehicles with $250,000 of coverage, you cannot, per vehicle, you cannot stack those two.
These have to be
two separate policies. Now, you usually get a premium discount if you have all the vehicles, you know, on one policy, but it's not all that much. So that's something that consumers need to take into consideration. You know, they can look at the cost of the premium increase by having one policy as compared to having two policies and then knowing that they can stack that coverage on the two separate policies for more UM/UIM coverage.
This is probably into the weeds, and just quick question. If you've got husband and wife, cars listed in the wife's name in one policy, the car in the husband's name in the other policy, you can't stack those two policies because they are two separate coverages?
If they're two separate policies, but what you've added is husband and wife, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In most policies, members of the household that reside in the household together will be covered. Okay.
That was, after all, a good question.
It was. And there's a case real briefly. I know we just have a minute in North Carolina where, there were two young children who were very severely injured and they lived part time with grandma. Okay. Not very often, stayed on the couch every once in a while. Their address was somewhere else as it relates to their school. But the court found that there was enough evidence in that case to go to the jury on whether these kids were members of that household, where they resided in the household with grandma, to get to grandma's coverage on her auto. So that's another thing that folks don't know. Sometimes you can have coverage just based on where you reside, being a member of the household, having either a relationship through blood or marriage.
The right advice at the right time, Harvell and Collins.
30, 60, and then 25 is the property. That's the property damage. So that one's a real easy one there. But again, most people are going to pay a little bit higher premium. They're going to get a little bit more coverage. You know, there's certainly also, you start at the minimum limits and then you go all the way up to the umbrella policy that's,
millions,
right?
Now, Lockwood, of course, we jumped right into the liability section, but let's get back just a moment to a real simple one, which a lot of folks just don't know about, and that's MedPay coverage or medical pay coverage, which I did mention is one of the categories. This is just non-liability. Doesn't matter whether anyone's at fault. It's just simply that if there is a medical bill or a medical injury, usually medical bill, touching and concerning that vehicle. I mean, it might be that, you know, someone gets their finger caught in the door, okay? Or anything touching and concerning that vehicle as to an injury that occurs that creates a medical bill.
So the car may not even, okay, slamming your hand inside the door.
Right.
Okay. And because it involved the car.
It did.
Now the medical, the
MedPay
kicks in.
Correct.
You're associated with it. Okay.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. Car rolls down the driveway.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it runs into your, you know, your leg or something.
Right.
I mean, any number of things, but it's not a matter of someone, yay or nay, being at fault.
And driving the car.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just medical cost that has resulted as a result of something that occurred in and around or in that vehicle.
Gotcha.
That's called medical pay coverage. And that's out there on all of our policies. And it's many, many times forgotten about. It, by the way, also doesn't matter that you have Blue Cross Blue Shield that pays it first. Okay. So our listeners, know about that, please. Know about your medical pay coverage. Wes, of course, brought to the table property damage, and of course, that's just the value of the vehicle.
Right.
If there's any kind of damage mm-hmm. to the vehicle. Okay. Again, that's not going to particularly play into liability. That's just if your vehicle is involved in an accident somehow, and your vehicle is damaged, then the insurance company is going to need to, under their property damage provisions, you know, make some remedy there.
Okay. Now, when you're talking the issue of property damage on vehicles. Are you insuring your vehicle, but also the damage done to another vehicle? Let's say you run into a vehicle, no one's injured, but damage is committed to both vehicles, and the driver in one is found at fault.
Right.
Does their coverage cover their car as well as the other car that is damaged?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mean, you're going to always look at who's liable.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
You know, if your car is damaged, then, you know, you're going to be in a situation where you can look to your own insurance,
right.
But your own insurance is going to require the tortfeasor's insurance to pay first.
Okay.
You know, on the property claim.
All right.
So, you know, that's the way that works.
Okay.
And it's a real simple analysis here. I mean, you know, even though you have your own insurance on your vehicle with regard to liability, you know, we have to look at who the liable party was, who the negligent party was here. And one of the things that we always look at here in North Carolina, because we're only one of three states remaining that's what's called a contributory negligence state, you know, this is something we deal with every single day, just about every single day, or we certainly have cases moving mm-hmm. through our office every single day where this issue is important. North Carolina, again, only one of three states remaining where contrib applies. And that means if you're 1% responsible for the accident, there's no recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to deal with that issue here in this great state of North Carolina.
Now, Lockwood.
So that's a little bit of a side issue there,
yeah.
But we can get back to
okay,
insurance. But it's related.
I think that it's interesting just to press home and make it very clear to our listeners that that these minimum levels of liability that Wes mentioned, 30,000, 60,000, these are mandated by law.
Right.
And this comparison was used, you know, with the federal government, you know, doing some sort of, you know, medical coverage for
mm-hmm.
everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, the famous Obamacare or
right.
whatever we want to call it. This is the same kind of concept where the government comes forth and says that it's a public policy argument, that it is in the best interest of our public that we mandate that if you have a vehicle, you must have these limits. And of course, there are checks and balances. And our listeners know this. You can't register a car.
Right.
You can't, you know, your driver's license. You know, you're showing proof of insurance when you're stopped for a routine traffic stop.
Right.
There are all sorts of checks and balances in there to make sure that our population have these minimum liability coverages on any vehicle or truck on the roadway. And so, that's out there, and you gotta have these limits. You gotta have this minimum coverage.
I think the important part here is it is minimum.
It is minimum.
Right.
Minimum. So, this is not necessarily recommended. But
that is true.
All right. You're listening to Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins. We're talking about accidents happen and the issue here, automobile insurance and the impact of this. This concept of contributory negligence, that's interesting because, of course, we'll get to this, but the penalty is now borne by multiple parties. I'm interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking accidents happen with Wes Collins and Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. And of course, I just want to mention to you, of course, you're welcome to call in if you have a question. I haven't even mentioned that at the outset. Harvell and Collins, of course, you can call them directly as well at their office. And that number, by the way, is 726-9050, 726-9050. We're talking accidents happen. And underinsured and uninsured motorist and things of this nature. And you mentioned a word a few moments ago, stacking up. Yeah. I'm just curious about all this. This is
well, the first thing that the lawyer is going to do, and our listeners need to understand, is to work the primary liability, as we just discussed, those basic limits, whatever they happen to be for the vehicle that's at fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the first, the first bit of energy is going to go there. The question then evolves, though, well, first of all, what if the person who caused the accident is in violation of the law and did not have those minimum limits? That would be uninsured. I mean, even though the law requires that we have these minimum limits, Lockwood, we know that there are a small percentage of people out there that just simply didn't pay the premium or didn't get around to doing it and are skirting the system.
Mm-hmm.
So then now they create an accident.
Right.
Okay. They are uninsured. All right. Then of course your uninsured motorist coverage is going to come into play because of the fact that you were in an accident where someone else was uninsured. The more complicated one is the underinsured motorist coverage, okay? And the basic definition of this is that, there are liabilities that are created as a result of the accident. And the liabilities exceed the primary person who created the accident's limits.
Right.
They have the limit. They're not uninsured. They have the minimum limits.
Mm-hmm.
They have 30,000 per person. But for heaven's sakes, the injury is 100,000 or 200,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that is what we call underinsured motorist, issue, an underinsured motorist issue. And of course, as a result of that, the policies, the coverage of the underinsured, insurance, those coverages under those sections are then going to apply.
So, I'm the injured party, the individual who caused the accident, either uninsured or underinsured, either case. My policy then kicks in the case of underinsured for the difference. For example, we're using a minimum of 30. Let's say there's $100,000 worth of services.
Hold on a second. You're the one who caused the accident?
I'm the one who's,
go ahead.
I'm the one I'm the recipient of the accident.
Okay. You were not negligent.
I was not negligent.
Okay.
So, the individual who caused the accident is insured for $30,000.
Yes.
I have $100,000 worth of medical bills.
Okay.
So there's a shortfall of $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
Does the individual who's liable pay the $30,000 and then does my insurance policy kick in and cover the additional 70?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then the insurance company would have certainly the right to look into proceeding against the tortfeasor as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could do that. And that's part of this analysis that we really haven't gotten into yet, but we can just touch on it right now. Obviously, if we're in a situation where we have a defendant, a tortfeasor, the person who was liable, who has minimal limits or not enough limits to cover all the damage, but has really significant assets, and we have to play that into it because you could very well have a judgment in excess of the coverage limit against that defendant and collect against the defendant. So that's kind of a side issue, but it's something that's related and is part of the analysis that any attorney, you know, you're working a personal injury claim to that extent with that kind of damage is going to consider.
Gotcha.
Now, Cecil went through the UM and the UIM very well. UIM being the underinsured and UM being uninsured. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's variations of that we see. For example, a hit and run type situation. It wouldn't necessarily be that the person who was negligent did not have insurance at all. But it could be a situation where there was a hit and run and we can't find the person.
Uh-huh.
Well, then our UM would apply. But however, there's an exception in North Carolina with regard to that. And basically that exception is under the current law, that there has to be contact. You can't have a situation under a hit and run under UIM coverage where there was not contact between the tortfeasor's vehicle as defined in the statute and also the person or the person's vehicle who was injured. Okay? Are you following what I'm saying there? And the reason the public policy with regard to that, Lockwood, is that we don't want, you know, folks to say, well, there was some guy who ran me off the road. I got hurt.
I got you.
You know.
Okay. Okay.
And where's the phantom guy who ran you off the road?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have to have some contact. Although vehicle in the statute is defined as the automobile or the vehicle itself and its cargo. So it could conceivably be something falling off
the vehicle.
It could be rocks, could be a tire, could be a 2x4, you know, anything.
In essence, what you're looking for is physical evidence, which means there's got to be contact.
Connect those dots.
Okay.
Yep.
Those cases are nice to have witnesses.
Okay.
People who saw what happened.
Right.
That's right.
Because as Wes is saying, otherwise, you know,